the matter, kid? Don't you like clowns? Why? Don't we make you laugh? Aren't we?
Come play with us, Danny.
Bad luck to kill a seabird.
Yo, what's up, guys? Welcome to the Horror Flicks and Guitar Picks podcast. I'm your host, Trash Mouth, and this week my guest is the one and only Chad Tronkell, aka DHD, of the DC-based hardcore band Red Death. So before we get into this week's interview, I just want to shout out a couple of movies that I think you guys should check out that might have gone under the radar over the past few years. The first two being on Tubi for free, one of them being this movie called Last Shift, about this female officer on her first night that also happens to be the last shift at an old precinct before they move to a new precinct. It makes more sense in the movie for sure, but definitely check it out. It turns into a great flick. I enjoyed that one a ton, and I feel like it goes under a lot of people's radars. Also, check out this movie called Don't Hang Up. This one is less of a quality movie, but more of a fun one. And to me, the only way I could put this one would be like a CW cast in an R-rated horror film. It's pretty fun, and I enjoy it, but it's not great. It's just a fun watch for sure. And then the last but not least, over on Hulu, if you have Hulu, check out Piwacket. It's kind of a slow burn horror movie, and it's not going to be for everybody, but the people that like it are going to really like it, I feel like. So if you go check out any of those, feel free to come DM me on any social media and talk about them, because I love talking about horror movies. So go check those out. Follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and here's the interview. So what's up, man? Thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, how's it going, man? How you doing?
Doing pretty good. So if you don't mind, just tell me a little bit about how the guys in Red Death came together, you know, to form the band.
We formed in like 2013. I was living in Northeast DC, and the drummer Connor moved in. He was subletting another roommate's room, and we just started talking about bands and music we like and things and music and such that's not happening or wasn't really happening at the time. And we thought, you know, we talked about, you know, stuff that inspires Red Death and stuff. And so we decided maybe we should start a band. And he knew Ace, our guitar player. They grew up together. So he's like, hey, I got a guy. So voila, we got together and we've been going since.
Hell yeah. And last year y'all released Sickness Divine. Are y'all hoping just to get back on the road this year for that? Or are you guys already working on the next album?
Oh, man, I just want to play a show in general.
I know. I bet, man.
If we can, we're supposed to do that Europe tour at the end of the year, but it's looking a little iffy because there's, I guess, that travel ban with Europe. So, I mean, it might not happen, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I'm leaning towards, at this point, it's not happening, which I understand if it doesn't, you know. So yeah. I've been slowly working on music. I know Connor has as well. I don't really know if Ace has, but I think we're trying the more, we got like an idea of when we want to do another record and stuff. We've kind of got a goal when we maybe want to start getting it together or a good time to have it out and stuff. But I think with the COVID situation right now, not really in a rush to get it going, which as much as I wish we were supposed to be on the road this whole summer, pretty much, you know, so yeah. As much as I wish we were, it's nice to have a little like refresher too as well. So
I was going to say, and it gives time for people to, you know, learn Sickness Divine. So by the time you finally come out and are able to play, you know, more shows with that album, because, I mean, y'all released that towards the end of the year. I'm sure you were playing some of it, you know, previous to the album release and stuff. But, you know, so people are going to want to hear a lot of that stuff. So if you put out another album and then finally are able to tour, it's just like, you know, it makes it harder to pick which stuff to play. And, you know, some people might miss out on the live experience of, you know, your newest album because, you know, you got to cut some songs and make room for the other new album. So exactly. Nice to let it sit for, you know, people to actually enjoy and stuff.
Yeah, for sure. I agree. I would just like to, I mean, my ideal situation is living when shows are a thing and stuff again, just pick up where we left off.
Yeah.
Because we put out the record in late November, and then we actually did I'm so glad we did this, because at first when we booked this, I was like, I hate touring this time of the year, but okay. But toured all of January, full US, and did some Canada. So I'm glad we did that. At least we got to like put the record in front of people's face. So hopefully when we come back, they've been wanting more since those shows, and hopefully they've been listening in quarantine and stuff, so we can just come right back out and hit them with it. Because we were just getting started on that campaign, if you will. We were just getting going
with it. Yeah.
And then everything hit a brick wall, which sucks for everyone. You know, every band, every showgoer, just even beyond that, just life in general, you know.
Yeah, like you said, you guys were lucky enough to hop right on the road and at least get a little bit of a tour done. You know, some people just started their tours as it started and had to go right back home or got halfway through. Or
yeah, look at like Code Orange, they put out that record and it's kick ass and they weren't even able to promote it. Just they even had to kind of like reconfigure. They couldn't even do the release show essentially. Like that sucks. It makes me very thankful that we were able to at the very least be like, we have the record. We hit the whole country one time at least. You know, before, because I would have been so bummed if we were in like a Code Orange situation where we weren't able to do anything and have that. They've found a way to keep going with different means, and I applaud that. I don't think we would have been able to do that. I don't think we had the fan base or anything like that for it. So I'm glad we were able to do it in a way we know would be effective and just hit the road and just stay on the road for a month. And I'm glad we did in retrospect because it was a good tour. It was a successful one. It wasn't a bummer or anything like that. So I'm glad as that was the last one for a while. If that's the last one for a while, I'm fine with that because it was a good one.
Hell yeah. No, and I was going to say the same thing. Applaud Code Orange for, you know, rolling with the punches because they even went on and just put like, you know, I think in lieu of their record release, they just did like a live performance online or something like that.
Yeah, they did. And I know like our friends Cro-Mags, they were supposed to do like that show. It's essentially kind of a Body Count's record release, that Webster Hall show, like Cro-Mags returning to the Webster Hall Body Count record release. That didn't even get to happen.
Yeah.
And they had to kind of reconfigure. So again, it just seeing this stuff made me so like thankful that we went out in my least favorite time of touring the year and we did it and we braved the crazy weather, you know, and we did it.
Yeah.
Because I would have been so bummed again if we didn't. And I was sitting here being like, damn, we didn't even get to, like, we played like a show. I would be so bummed. So played like 20-ish shows.
Yeah. So you got a pretty much a close to a full run before, you know, everything had to stop. Yeah, so.
For sure.
Well, before we go into the horror movies, do you play in any other projects or is Red Death your only one?
Red Death's been my only one because it just keeps me satisfied. But now since I'm quarantined, I've got the hunch to, because I'm always writing for years. I've been writing. I got so many different projects. I just never pulled the trigger on them, for lack of a better word here. I never pressed the button on it.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, we're going to launch this one. Or I asked, but I think I'm going to now since I've been revisiting that stuff. I think now it's like, why not? If something like this happens again, I at least want to be able to have different outlets and such, you know?
Yeah. And Red Death is one of those bands that y'all have been pretty steady with your releases since you guys came out. Because there's a lot of bands that, you know, they'll sit on one album for quite a few years before they finally get into the studio and get that other one out. Y'all seem to have pretty much dropped one almost, well, like almost every year since 2015, if I'm not mistaken, or 2014, like at least an EP or an album.
Yeah, I think the only year has been 2018 that we did it.
Yeah.
Every year we've released something new.
Hell yeah. So I guess we can go on to the horror movies, man, if that's cool with you.
Oh yeah, man, I love horror movies.
Hell yeah. So do you have any memories growing up that revolve around horror movies that stick with you?
Uh-huh, for sure. Being 5 years old, my mother bought all the Universal Monster classics for VHS for me. I love the Wolfman, like Lon Chaney Jr.
Hell yeah.
I was thinking about it earlier because I knew I was coming and talking horror with you. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about it, so the only time I've really been scared for a horror movie is the Wolfman. Like the grave digger, he's digging the grave alone at night. There's no one around. It's like foggy. It's creepy. And then this weird ass wolf dude comes out and just does his thing. It freaked me out when I was a kid. Like I thought he was in the closet. I thought the wolf man was in the closet. I was like, he's in there. What do I do if he comes out?
Oh yeah. So now, that's how you know it affects you.
Yeah. You know what? I used to love watching Frankenstein, Dracula, all the classics. They didn't scare me though. The Wolfman did, but they didn't scare me, but I loved them. Like, you know, Frankenstein's just like, he's just a misunderstood soul, if you will, you know, just trying to be a good guy and it doesn't work out.
Yeah, I remember being a kid and thinking to myself, though, like, when I'd watch werewolf films, it was one of those things that it adds a little bit of real fear because you know that there are actually wolves. So you're always like, if I get fucking bitten, I might be a werewolf. Like, because, you know, as a kid, your imagination runs wild. So I could see why that one would scare you more than, like, Dracula, because, you know, there's not vampires and you never see bats as often as you'd see, like, you know, like wild animals. You don't see wolves that often either, but you know about them and stuff. So
For sure, like Frankenstein or the creature from the Black Lagoon is going to pop up out of the closet, but the Wolfman, I believe that. Like a Lon Chaney morphing into some freak. Like that seems so believable to me. I was just like, keep him away. But I also thought he looked so cool at the same time.
Yeah.
It's such a, he's almost got like an afro. It's such a weird, prosthetics or makeup setup. The Wolfman just looks so crazy. I love it.
Yeah, it's crazy the shit that they could do with makeup. I think that was the 30s, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
I think that one's like 30 or 31 on the dot. Like that one's pretty.
No, that's crazy. Do you have a favorite horror movie of all time?
For sure. The Thing, 1982.
Hell yeah, John Carpenter. Yeah,
Kurt Russell, RIP, Ennio, he just passed.
Yeah.
Obviously, all his stuff's great, but, you know, that Thing theme is so damn good.
Yeah. Now, that's one thing, is a lot of people, for the longest time, just thought that was John Carpenter, but that's Ennio Morricone, 100%.
Yep, it is, which I can also see where someone, because for a long time, I thought it was John.
Yeah.
Because it sounds just like the stuff he makes. Sounds like his soundtracks. Was probably obviously what they were going for, which
yeah,
very effective.
Yeah, I was about to say it lends itself to the genius of Ennio because of the fact that he was able to pretty much mold his sound to something like, you know, he goes from something like The Ecstasy of Gold and, you know, The Good and the Bad and the Ugly to something like completely different and, you know, synthwave type, almost, you know, not quite synthwavy, but close enough, you know, like John Carpenter feel. So shows that he could just blend to anybody and do it almost as good. I mean, or if not as good, you know.
Yeah, he was a virtuoso. He was like a John Williams type for sure, where they just adapt. And as fans, we eat it up.
Yeah. It's like to throw out somebody else that's like awesome, but not necessarily the same as like Danny Elfman. You know, everybody loves Danny Elfman, but it's like every time you hear Danny Elfman, it sounds like Danny Elfman. So
yeah, I know it's him. Yeah.
Yeah, unlike John Williams and
John Williams has kind of got he's like a little bit of the best of both worlds, where you could tell it's his flavor a lot of times. I think just because we've heard his stuff for ever.
Yeah.
But also he adapts too. So definitely.
Hell yeah. Do you have a favorite scene in The Thing?
Oh man. The dogs in the pen when the thing first starts revealing itself and popping off.
Hell yeah.
Like the dog where the face splits open. It's like a butterfly. And it's like the tongue is like a crazy, it's almost like a whipping around. Like it's, oh dude, that's just awesome. In 1982, that's awesome for like special effects.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people always bring up the defibrillator scene and always forget about the dog scene. But the dog scene is probably some of the top-notch effects in that movie. Just all the fucking, like how you see all these real dogs in the same scenes that you see like this creature of like seven or eight dogs put together.
It's fucking insane. It's believable. It's totally believable, especially when like they burn it and then they put it out with the fire extinguisher, just like the pile, like, oh, it looks so cool.
Yeah. And then I think after that, it shoots up into the air duct. And then that's probably one of the most frightening scenes, because after that, you're like, fuck, it's in the air duct.
Yeah, that's another movie. The first time I saw it, I was like, I watched it in the dark. I was like, ooh, man.
Yeah.
I was like, this is some shit.
Like, hell yeah.
Living in that scenario. When coronavirus first, when lockdown happened in March, I felt like, fuck, is this like The Thing? Who's got it?
Hell yeah.
I was like, everyone around me might have it.
I can't remember the word that they use, but whatever the word is that they say for like taking over the person, can't remember what it is now, but assimilation.
Yes.
I was like, that's when you start to tell everybody they got to prick their finger and give you a little bit of blood to come in the house.
Yeah, we got to do the blood test. If your blood jumps, you got the coronavirus. Stay away from me.
Hell yeah. That scene probably has my favorite quote in the whole movie, when the guy's like, believe it or not, gentlemen, I'd rather not spend the rest of the winter tied to this goddamn chair.
Yeah, tied to this fucking chair, whatever. Yeah. Yes, it's so good. And they're like looking at each other, going, well, yeah, I guess we could not tie him.
Yeah, either that quote or when back to the defibrillator scene when the guy's like, you gotta be fucking kidding me.
Yeah, that one's good. Also, I like the very end. The very, very end where Kurt throws the stick of diamonds, like, oh, fuck you too.
Yeah. Hell yeah. So now, I was watching Big Trouble in Little China last night, and I was just thinking to myself, I was like, dude, Kurt Russell is so badass in the 80s. He doesn't get enough credit for it, for sure. Dude,
also, that's another, talking about John Carpenter and Kurt Russell, that's another great movie out of those two. Big Trouble is incredible. also great special effects in that movie too, like the lightning and stuff.
Yeah, and the production design, like the whole, like all the stuff they go through and all that shit.
Uh-huh. The alley, even the beginning, the alley with the gang fight.
Yeah, that shit's sick.
I would love to just live on that alley and that set.
Hell yeah.
That alley's so sick.
Now, that first time, first scene when Lo Pan shows up, I'm like, that goes probably up their top five, like, just movie entrances. He's just fucking phenomenal as a villain, too.
Oh, Lo Pan's phenomenal as a villain. And then Kurt Russell, goddamn, what's his name? Jack, right?
Yeah, Jack Burton.
Burton, yes. Jack Burton is such a good contrast between the good guy and the villains. Like some goofy badass, and you got some serious, like crazy guy. It's awesome.
Hell yeah. I was going to say, do you have any other favorites between them two? Or do you have any other favorite horror movies in general that sit up there with your top three?
Yeah. People more so consider this one a sci-fi movie, which I absolutely understand. But I put in my top three horror movies because I consider the horror movie Alien. I love it. Hell yeah. That's a literally like a horror, like you got a bad guy and everyone's getting cut down one by one. Like classic horror movie scenario, you know?
Yeah, it's like a slasher just with an alien almost.
Bingo. It's a slasher, but instead of having like a Michael Myers type, you got a xenomorph.
Yeah, now the first Alien is definitely, of course, it gets a little bit more sci-fi, like action-y with aliens, because, you know, they're just a bunch of people fighting a bunch of aliens. But the first one is,
too.
Yeah, it's definitely excellent. It just goes more towards the action than the first. I think the first one to me is straight up horror. I mean, they're stuck on the ship with something that inevitably, like you said, is like the brute force of a Michael Myers or Jason. It's just, you know, it's pretty much Jason X fucking back 30 years ago.
It's what you wish Jason X was.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, they ripped off Alien with Jason X pretty much because that's what it is. It's a slasher in space. And it's excellent. Now, I love it. And the way the production design when they first, like, find the egg.
Yeah.
That whole fucking scene when they go, like, onto the planet or whatever is insane. Yeah, but 79.
The ship landing on the planet's clearly, like, a model, but it looks so good. Like, I love models and stuff. Like, I worship Star Wars, so I'm all about the model sets and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, I love the model set, and then they go into the room, and there's, the engineer and the chair. Like, everything just looks so creepy and cool.
Hell, yeah. Do you have any, newer horror movies that have come out that you really liked?
Yeah, I like some of the Jordan Peele stuff, Get Out, and I really liked Us. I know Us, people kind of thought it was whatever, but I thought it was cool and weird.
Yeah.
Like familiar, but different kind of thing. So, Jordan Peele stuff. New Halloween, I thought was fantastic.
Hell yeah. That's one that I was kind of on the fence about, but I think I need to revisit it. I liked parts of it, and parts of it I kind of thought were just like, I didn't really love the beginning, you know, when they showed, when they were like screaming at him and stuff in the psych ward and shit. But
once I watched it a second time though, again, I appreciated that beginning more, especially knowing how it went in the end.
Yeah, true. So that's one thing I might need to do is revisit it. Cause I've only watched it the one time, but, I really love the whole middle part where it kind of like revisits, but also, you know, modernizes the like Halloween, scenes, you know, where he's walking through all the houses during Halloween and, you know, like he gets the knife and like kills that family inside, like all those, like, I don't know. I guess the cinematography would be the word, of all that, like the way it shows it from like, you see him go down the alleyway and then it just sits in the front of the house and you see him like come in the back door off through like the front window and he like kills the lady. Then he like comes up and kills the husband as he's like putting the window down and shit. That whole scene right there is just phenomenal. That's like grade A slasher film for sure.
Agreed. I agree with that and the ending. I think the very ending is real good where they kind of trick him.
Yeah.
The whole basement thing. I really like that.
Yeah, I did like the fact that,
I really like that they're also using it to set up, like, doing, like, two other movies.
Yeah.
I kind of like that they're kind of using this as they used it as, like, a catapult, because I think there's a lot they can do with it now.
Yeah, which, sadly, COVID pushed that back another year. But did you see the teaser that they released for the next one? It was, like, real short.
I did. I liked it. Obviously, it's not too revealing, but I liked it.
Yeah. Just kind of gives you a little bit of the, you know, why Michael Myers might still be alive. Cause it might, you know, we don't know. It could shoot a couple years in the future and it could be one of those that like dumbasses, they go and put the fire out and they take him and they put him in a psych ward again, you know, and he breaks back out. So
back to Universal, the classics, it's like Frankenstein meets the Wolfman, man. Forget the character's name, but he falls into the ice cave and he sees Frankenstein in the ice and he digs him out and all hell breaks loose. It's like classic, you know, horror trope, which I like. So
yeah, like
honestly, I would love if that's what happens. I would love that.
Yeah, it would be the most realistic. Well, I mean, other than him just not being in the house after they, you know, if they went in there and put the house out and then they just like Michael's nowhere to be found, that would be fine too. But yeah. I think the other, those are probably the two most like logic filled ways, you know, because if he got out before it burned him to alive, that makes sense. And then if they took him out and, you know, let him heal in a hospital like dumbasses instead of letting him die.
I could also see them doing that too. I can see that being a storyline they go with too, because it is kind of believable. I mean, everyone, like, that's the classic thing with Michael is everyone makes mistakes with him, you know?
Yeah.
They don't cover all the grounds, you know?
Yeah, it's almost like Dr. Loomis's, like, naivety. I probably can't spit that word out right, but...
I can't at all, so I'm like, you did it better than me.
Him being naive, I'll go that way, definitely led to a lot of those sequels for sure. And that's what I liked about the first, like, which the third one, you know, is completely different. But, like, the first one, two, and, like, four, which even five, like, the way it leads into five was pretty decent. But it all just kind of is because of Loomis, like, trusting too much to begin with. It's once he finally decides, like, shit, he's a monster that needs to be killed, that other people start to step in, and then they start to be like, you know, we can't just kill people and stuff. So, like, that's when the other people, you know, don't let him kill him after that. But no, it's his, the first two movies are definitely like all because Loomis is thinking too much about like he could save this boy, when really it's like he's a monster and there's no saving him.
Yep, exactly. You said five, that's Paul Rudd, right? That's the one, Paul Rudd.
No, six is the one with Paul Rudd. Five is the one where they still had Danielle Harris as a little kid, but she's, like, mute the whole time.
Dang, I haven't seen that one in a long time. I was about to say a couple years ago I visited six, and I couldn't believe how much I ended up loving it. I didn't recall loving it as a kid, and I watched a few years back, and I was like, damn, this one's sick. I didn't know.
Yeah, I think my problem with six is I liked the introduction of the weird shit. Like, I think that's where they introduced the Cult of Thorn, but it bums me out because they never really go too much into it anymore. Like, they go into it a little bit in the next one, but never as much as, like, you know, they start to act like it's going to become a part of the story.
Yeah, I agree with you there. They didn't follow up on it, which does suck.
Yeah, but so is there any other newer ones that you like, or any classics that you want to talk about, you know, you like to mention?
I'm trying to think of some more newer horror other than like the stuff I mentioned.
Yeah, one thing I like, quick comment on what you said about, you know, Us. I know a lot of people don't like it, but in my opinion, it's like a funner watch and funner rewatch than Get Out. It's just not as a flawless film as Get Out. You know, like, you could pick out the plot holes and stuff easier, to where like Get Out's pretty, you know, not airtight, but it's a lot closer than Us. But Us is definitely an enjoyable ride.
I think Get Out is like a lot more relatable for everyone than Us. Like, a lot of people don't have families, you know, so they're kind of like, they don't understand the kind of family aspect between the two families and the such. But I think with Get Out, people can understand being trapped in bad situations, or even like racist situations and such like that, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I think a lot more people can relate to that plot than the Us plot.
No, definitely. I know exactly what you mean. It's like, especially those people that, you know, are like going around, you know, dating and stuff. It lends into another fear when starting to date.
Yeah, the Kardashians. Yeah. He's going to talk about some classic horror monsters.
So that's Get Out in real life right there.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised for sure if they somehow had Kanye in the Upside Down, like, or the Sunken Place, not the Upside Down, the Sunken Place. Yeah. I'd be like, man, like, fucking Jordan, you knew about this, didn't you?
if he becomes president, it's going to be because she's got his her hand up his butt, working him like a puppet.
Yep, like Get Out. Yeah. Man, now Jordan's really going to win some fucking awards when he fucking writes a story based off that one.
Yeah.
He's really going to kill it.
Could you think of any more? If not, I can move on.
I said Upside Down. It's not a movie, but I guess Stranger Things has kind of got a little horror with it. Well, it makes references.
Yeah, no, I love Stranger Things, and that's one thing that not a lot of people have brought up on the show so far. I was actually just rewatching some of it. What's if you don't mind, go through some of your favorite parts. Spoiler alert for anybody that hasn't watched it, but it's been up, you know, it's a phenomenon at this point. So if you haven't watched it, you're kind of slacking.
It's been a second for me. First season when that dropped though was incredible. This, like, every episode, especially like that the very end of the first episode, beginning of the second episode and such. Like, I loved like when the one kid went missing.
Yeah. Will.
Will. Yes.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that whole storyline. So it's been three seasons, right? I don't really remember much of two. I should probably revisit two.
Yeah, I think two is more the season where Max showed up with her older brother that was in the Power Rangers. I can't remember what his name is in the show, but
yes. And then 11 is with some type of, she's off, isn't she, in the bout?
Yeah, she leaves for a little bit and then comes back like right towards the end of the season or something like that, because she's off with that like other group of kids with like special abilities and stuff.
Exactly. See, I need to revisit that one because I remember season three a lot more.
Maybe, yeah, me too.
I watched it more recently, but I really liked season three. I thought it was cool and like really like honed in the 80s vibe.
No, yeah, I love the whole them in the mall aspect. It really reminded me of like Fast Times at Ridgemont High, but then, you know, they were always
exactly
like
exactly in my mind right now. I was talking about the 80s vibe was literally the mall.
Yeah.
Looks so 80s and like literally Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Like, so cool. Weird Science looks like the mall in Weird Science.
Yeah. Pretty much the John Hughes Mall for
Yep, it's the John Hughes Mall. I mean, there's so much nostalgia, but it's cool in that show, you know? It's like nostalgia where I'm like, all right, this isn't cheesy. Like, I like, this is fun.
Yeah, and that's one that's got a bunch of awesome references. Like, at the beginning, they go to the movie theater and sneak in to see Day of the Dead. And, you know, in the earlier season, I think in season, well, I guess it carries on through seasons 2 and 3. But, you know, they have the Thing poster in the basement where they play Dungeons and Dragons. And then they got the Evil Dead 2 poster. So they definitely go in 80s, like, as far as John Hughes and stuff, but they definitely go into the horror stuff, too, because, you know, the movie is, it's like a child's horror, you know what I mean, the show. It reminds me of, like, Monster Squad or something like that.
It's like a good blend between, like, doing the Wolfman, but you don't get scared and think he's in the closet.
Yeah.
You're just like, oh, he's not real, this is fun.
Yeah, it's like, unless I go in the Upside Down, I'm good.
Yeah, exactly. If I went upside down, I don't even know. I couldn't imagine what that'd be like, man.
I'd be worried about how it smells.
I'd be worried about breathing.
Yeah, true.
Like there might be like toxic areas and shit.
Yeah, because they use hazmat suits when they go in to like save Will in the first season.
Yep, that's that, because I could see it being toxic air in there and stuff.
Yeah, which is probably why Will, when he comes out in the second season, that's another thing I liked, is the cliffhanger at the end of the first season when Will's out. And then he ends up, like, puking up that slug or whatever. Like, that was a perfect ending.
Yep, because they set up that his story with him and Upside Down is just never going to be done until this show's done.
Yeah. Now, I'm excited to see where they go season 4.
Yeah, me too. I'm excited to see where they go for sure. I believe it's, what, 85 or 86 going to be now, the year it takes place?
I think it's going to be 86 because unless they jumped forward more than a year, because 85, because when they went to the movie theater at the beginning of the third season, Back to the Future was playing. So that would have been 1985.
Yeah, that you're right. Yeah. So it's probably going to be 86.
Yeah. That's my favorite movie of all time. So that's the only reason.
Oh, Back to the Future?
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah. I love that trilogy. I love the third one. When I was a kid, I used to love when the third one would be on TV. I like all three of them. I think they're all three great.
No, me too. That's definitely my favorite trilogy. It's like one of those things that it's just like one movie. Like the whole part one, part two, part three is perfectly fitting to that, because you can watch them in unison. Yeah.
It's literally seamless. Like one ends, two picks up where one ends, you know, two ends, one picks up. I mean, three picks up right where two ends. It's perfect.
Yeah. Just like the first like four Friday the 13th movies, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. And they just pick up that next day. I love that.
No, definitely. So before we move on, I do want to ask you, how do you feel about, like, remakes? Have you heard that they're going to be doing a new Wolfman?
Yeah, I mean, they did that Wolfman with Benicio, and I know, like, people didn't like it. I thought it was all right. I didn't hate it when it came out. We'll see how it is with these remakes. I feel like with all remakes, they're, like, mainly misses, and there's some hits, you know?
Yeah. So, do you have any remakes that you enjoy?
Not so much a remake. It's a remake. It's more so a sequel, but I love Blade Runner 2049.
Oh, hell yeah.
Loved it. I finally just bought it on. I only watched it a couple times. I finally just bought it on Blu-ray and got it in the mail last week and watched it a couple more times again since theaters and stuff. And, man, that movie is just so good.
Yeah, it's like a big epic. That's one thing I like about it. People complained it was too long, but I just felt like it was a big epic story.
I don't think there's any scenes. Like, I think the length's perfect. There's, like, no scenes I would take away. Like, I think they're all pretty, like, they all mean something. There's not much filler in that movie. And it's like, you know, it's obviously like, you know, the thing they're doing. Again, like, I'm a huge Star Wars fan. You know, Force Awakens is like the reboot remix. sequel thing, and they did that with 2049. I think it's flawless with 2049. I think it connects perfectly with all the questions and the mysteries surrounding the first one, and takes that stuff and answers some things, and then elaborates on some things, and then stretches out other things and asks more questions. And I think it just works perfectly.
Yeah. Now, I like when they revisit a movie like that, especially with, you know, like these updated effects, but they kind of do a good job of keeping the stuff looking very similar, you know? Like, it looks beautiful, but if you go back and revisit the first movie, it does look very similar as far as, like, design and stuff like that. Like even Mad Max, you know, the Fury Road film when it came out.
Oh, that's another great one.
Yeah, that was kind of like you could say it was a remake, or you could just say it was another person playing the character of Mad Max going through another... You know, because the Mad Max movies changed up as far as, like, you know, as he got, like, the first Mad Max isn't that post-apocalyptic, but then as his budget grew, it became, like, more post-apocalyptic and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the first one just looks like Australia. Like, it doesn't even look like the future.
Yeah. And then you can see that he finally got the money to make, like, the Thunderdome type shit. Stuff. Yeah.
Road Warrior, yeah, but it starts really looking like it. And Fury Road's, like, perfect, like... obviously what he wishes he could have done with the first Mad Max.
No, definitely. If you don't mind me asking, man, I know you said you write some music for Red Death. Would you ever want to compose a horror movie?
Yeah, I definitely would. I love horror movie soundtracks, like Suspiria. You asked my favorite horror, that's another one of mine, Suspiria, and I love that soundtrack.
Hell yeah. Is that one done by Goblin, or?
Yep, that's Goblin. Okay. I was just about to say Goblin does that. It's proof that bands can literally do horror soundtracks. It doesn't just need to be a composer.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Yeah, I would love to write music for a horror movie. I think that'd be awesome. I was watching, they put out on the Disney Plus recent, like, they did, like, a 8-episode series of, like, how they made that new show, The Mandalorian. And there's an episode with Ludwig Göransson. He did the Black Panther soundtrack, and he did the Mandalorian soundtrack. And, I mean, it's all, like, guitars and stuff. But he's just making it fit with Star Wars. It's like, man, I could do that with horror for sure.
No, definitely. That's one thing that I enjoy a lot is going back to Fury Road, a lot of that is just like drums and guitar, you know, this stuff. And then
yeah, it is for real.
Which I don't remember who did that score, but I'm sure it's somebody big. But no, I really like the Black Panther theme and that whole soundtrack. I know a lot of it was also like, you know, the Kendrick Lamar music or whatever, but a lot of the in-between music was beautiful.
That's that dude Ludwig, which I think he just like uses different instruments and like brings in different stuff. Like I said, guitars and things you wouldn't necessarily put in these like sci-fis or these comic book things, you know. And I think it's cool, and it breaks down that wall and makes it to where we can go and write stuff. I would love to score a movie. Not score is probably the wrong word, but you know, I'd love to doodle about for a horror.
No, definitely, and I would probably call it scoring too. So I think that's what it's called.
It's pretty much scoring. You're creating a vibe to what you're seeing. You're seeing scenes without music, and you're going, what sound should be made right here and such, you know?
Yeah.
Score for sure, in a sense.
Do you have a preferred subgenre that you'd like to score if you ever did one?
Like a movie?
Yeah, like if you did like a horror movie subgenre, my bad. Like, would you rather do like a slasher? Would you like to take on like a alien, or even just like thoughtful, like, you know, how Suspiria is pretty much a witch movie, something like that, just where you did, you know, just like kind of jam band, which I guess Goblin stuff would be, you know, more like, it kind of sounds like some jam band shit a little bit, yeah, but
it's leaning more towards jazz than this horror.
Yeah. But it fits somehow. So like, how would you do it? Would you just like to take a film and put like Red Death style stuff over it? Or would you like to take a movie, like a sci-fi movie, and try to do like all the little weird sounds and shit like that?
Honestly, probably I would love to try to find a middle ground between the two things you said.
Yeah.
Make it to where it's like my style, very like, you know, metal, punkish, but keep it very, you know, in its genre.
Hell yeah.
I would love to fuse the two. I think it'd be a nice challenge. I love challenges, so sounds like a good challenge to me.
Yeah. No, definitely. I feel
like good in challenges. Challenges, I think, is where I truly... No one wants to do the challenge, and I dread them too, but once I do it, I'm like, oh, I'm thriving.
Oh, yeah. So, say somebody came up to you and said, we're making a new music video for Red Death, and we want to make a short film version of a horror movie. What horror movie would you choose if you could choose any?
Oh, hell yeah. That's a cool question. Not that you've asked dumb questions. You definitely haven't, but this one rocks.
Not for you.
You know, I really like my favorite type of horror stuff is kind of like obscure, like 80s, early 90s, like horror anime stuff. I wouldn't mind, like, I would love if someone was like, hey, we're remaking Curse of the Undead Yoma. Would you want to score it? I'd be like, fuck yeah. I know exactly what needs to be here, here, and here, and here, and here. I'll, you know,
it's like
a ninja horror. It would be, I'd love to score like a ninja horror, like ninjas out in the woods, all the 1700s, 1600s, and all of a sudden there's just these like crazy life-size man-eating spiders and poisonous spiders and cool things. Like, I'd love to score some shit like that. I don't know if anyone's making stuff like that. Maybe maybe Glenn Danzig will. I need him to I need him to get a little better with the production stuff first before I hop on.
No, I didn't even know he was making animated stuff. Is that something he's been diving into?
Dude, he made that movie Veronica. You didn't see it?
No, what is it called?
Veronica. It's like based off his like horror comics he had in the 90s. It's like a
It's spelled with a K, isn't it?
Yeah, Veronica with the K. It's very
I've seen it, but I haven't like seen it, you know what I mean?
It's like okay, so it's like it's pretty like the stories are like they're just like based off short stories from a comic, so they're not very plot dense.
Yeah.
They're fun, but it's just shot real bad. Like
now, definitely check it out.
Like definitely could use some editing. Like help for sure. There's a lot of parts where the camera is lingering on someone's face too long. You know, like I compared to The Room before I saw it, and then I saw it, I was like, I get that you compare this movie to The Room.
Damn.
It's like The Room meets a horror done by Glenn Danzig.
Now I don't know if I want to watch it.
I hated it, and then I watched it two more times after that. I still hated it, but kept wanting to watch it.
Yeah. I'll make sure not to tag Danzig in this. So going back to the question about the song, you know, music video thing, do you have a song that you'd like to, you know, use for the horror remake?
Yeah, we well, there's a Red Death song from our second record, Formed with Darkness, called Slash the Bits. It's kind of like a Veronica, like a short little horror story that I never made, so I just put it to lyrics and made it a song. So I mean, that could totally use a video. And it's easy. You would just need someone running around being chased by a bunch of slashers. And every room, there's like a different psycho slasher. And at the end, the main character probably will not make it out alive.
Which is the best type of horror movie.
Easy to shoot. You know, I don't know if you've seen our we got like a couple music videos now, but I don't know if you saw the Sickness Divine music video, but it's pretty simple. And I like that. So I'd like to do something like horror, but simple.
Yeah. Now, I don't, honestly, I don't think I looked that one up. Usually I look music videos up, but I've been moving a lot lately, so I haven't had like a lot of stuff hooked up.
It's all good. It's there. It ain't going anywhere. You can watch it in like 3 years if you wanted to.
Well, I was going to say, I thought off the new album, a good one to be with Ravage. It'd be cool to do that and do like a kind of like a Wrong Turn remake type short film.
That's a good song to pick. That's the first time I've written a Red Death song. It's like all me. So
really,
you hit the right guy with the right tune.
Hell yeah. Now I like that one a lot. And it's
Ravage is a song just about kind of like losing your mind and freaking out and just fucking dealing with the depression, insanity, whatever else we all deal with. But I mean, you could definitely do like a horror like that. Definitely have like a dude freaking out in the room or a chick freaking out in the room, and then it zooms in inside their head or his head, and it's just a bunch of crazy scenes, you know? I could easily make a horror with that one.
Yeah, that'd be a perfect one to like remake The Shining for almost.
Oh, I mean, yeah, it's kind of like that. I mean, you're kind of running away from something that's coming at you that's insane and you don't know where to go. It's kind of in that vibe, you know?
Yeah, and the main character, Jack Torrance, you know, he's kind of going insane. You know, you can use him as like the host for that, you know, part of it. You know, somebody going, you know, use him to be the one to go into, and then you could use the same visions and stuff that they saw in the film, just have him inside of his head instead of, you know, being saw by Danny riding around or whatever.
Yep, and you could do like the ending where it gets slows down, the like the mosh part, if for lack of a better word, if you will.
Yeah.
You have it be with it through the snow maze, the hedge maze.
Hell yeah.
Side that you could be like, for like running through the snow. I think it'd look fucking cool.
Hell yeah. Now I'm right there with you.
So, something.
Hell yeah. Gotta start it up, Danzig.
You know when I got into NWA when I was a kid, it's because I heard Express Yourself in Tony Hawk's Pro Skaters 4, but then I went on YouTube and I saw a mashup. It was Sesame Street Fuck the Police. I would love to do a Shining Ravage mashup as a homage to the Fuck the Police Sesame Street mashup.
Do like The Shining but with puppets pretty much.
Yeah, I'll do that too. Hell yeah. I love puppets and stuff. I would love to do like a thought about it. The means of going about it, but would love to do like a Red Death vid with like puppets or marionettes or something. You know, I love all that stuff.
Hell yeah. Do a whole mosh pit full of puppets. That'd be hard to do, but if you pulled it off, it'd be sick.
I don't know if you saw, if you're a fan of the Dark Crystal or not, or saw that that prequel series they did last year, but definitely could do some cool shit with puppeteering in this modern age. I don't think puppets are out of style. I think they need to be back in style. There's a lot that could be done with them, in my opinion.
No, definitely. I haven't checked out the series, but I was a fan of the movie growing up. But
oh yeah, same. The series is cool, man. It's prequel. It kind of ends. Doesn't end where. I guess kind of a spoiler alert. Doesn't end when the movie starts, so it leaves room for there to be some more seasons.
Yeah.
But it definitely like ends kind of setting up for sure. The movie just doesn't. The land's not desolate, and you know, he's haven't taken over fully yet. You know.
Yeah.
They're in the process of taking over. It's kind of like a Game of Thrones. It's got a little bit of Game of Thrones vibe in the sense that, you know, there's this like evil group of people here and they're plotting.
Now, I'll definitely check it out because my wife grew up a fan of that as well. So, and she's not into a lot of horror, but she'll watch like the more like, you know, fantasy type stuff with me for sure. Especially if she was a fan of it. So,
yeah, it's a good blend of the practical and the CGI. I think the CGI doesn't look wonky or nothing. I think it looks pretty good.
Yeah.
And the puppeteering is great. And I'm a huge Mark Hamill fan. I mean, I talk about Star Wars like every time I talk to someone, but it's quite obvious I love like Mark Hamill. So he plays he's a bad guy. He's a Skeksis. He plays like the Skeksis like scientist. It's kind of like conjuring up monsters and weapons and things. So it's real cool if you're like a Batman animated fan or a Star Wars fan or just a Mark Hamill fan in general. He's like does a very good voice acting job in it.
Hell yeah. No, I love Mark Hamill, especially Batman Animated. I went and saw The Killing Joke when they did the One Night Only, just because, yeah. You know, him and Kevin Conroy returned to the voices and stuff.
Yep. Oh, dude, Batman Animated show, Mark's Joker is straight up incredible.
Yeah, like, no doubt.
One of my favorite voice roles ever. Top three, I think.
Yeah, no, I think if I actually started to dig into it, it'd be up there for me, too, because... Mm-hmm. Him and Kevin Conroy. Conroy probably wouldn't be as far up, but both of them are just
Batman's
like...
Oh, his Batman's great. His Batman, the perfect Batman voice.
Yeah, when you hear their voices, it's like you immediately know who it is doing them, and you know that, you know, you're in for a good movie, too, or a good show.
Yeah, man, for sure. The movie, I believe it's Mask of the Phantasm or The Phantom, or...
Yeah.
I haven't seen it in years, but I remember watching it as a little kid and thinking it was great.
Yeah, I think that's on Netflix right now, actually, or just got put back home on Netflix.
Oh, damn, I didn't even know that well. Looks Hell like yeah. I'm jumping back in.
Hell yeah, I might do the same.
I'm definitely jumping back in.
Hell yeah. So, I just got two more questions for you. If you could get, I know you do vocals in Red Death. Do you play guitar in Red Death as well?
Bass. I play bass and bass. Now.
Okay. I knew that you wrote, but I wasn't sure if you played an instrument live or if you guys had somebody else that, you know, came in for the... You know, the tours or not. Because I'll be honest, I haven't seen you guys live yet. And that's one thing I'm hammering for. That's why I'm like, fuck COVID, because I need some Red Death. Especially because y'all are from D.C. So I'm only, I'm like right below Virginia. So it's only like 4 hours, you know. So.
Oh, where are you at?
North Carolina. Okay. Yeah, so I'm like an hour south of Virginia Beach.
Yeah, Ace and Connor, the other two in the band, they're both from Raleigh.
Oh, hell yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, so when they're going back to the first question about like how we formed, like, Connor came up from Raleigh, and then he was like, yeah, I got a dude back in Raleigh. I can get him up here.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, so a small world, man, North Carolina.
Yeah, no, that's dope. But my final two questions for you were, is if you could have any instrument that's custom made, and it could be in any way, and it could be an instrument, or it could be like an amp cabinet or anything like that, if you could have it custom made to like be with like a horror movie design, what would you get, and like how would you get it designed?
Oh, hell yeah. Well, what comes to mind is the thing, getting one of those cool looking, like, shit, imagine having the guitar with, like, shaped like the dog, the dogs morphed together.
Hell yeah.
Having, like, a body somehow with that, and maybe, like, the neck be, like, the dog head or something. I think that'd be fucking cool.
Hell yeah. No, that would be sick. I never thought about that, because one thing I like about the thing is, all the different creatures in it. Like, I'd like to get the an amp head would be cool to have with, like, instead of having the you know, the part, the little grate in front of the tubes, have like a painting of the thing landscape.
Oh, nice.
Like all of Outpost 31 pretty much.
Oh, I fucking love the scenery.
Yeah, have that with like the dude when they burn the dude outside. That would be pretty sick. Then you have that and then have the guitar. That'd be fucking epic.
Oh, dude, fuck yeah. Also, thinking back to the Wolfman, it'd be cool to have like a wooden guitar, brown body, but have like the neck, the top of the guitar be like the silver cane.
Hell yeah.
You know, have it be the wolf head.
Yeah.
Like a Wolfman nod, that'd be cool.
No, definitely. I know that one's like more like a subtle nod instead of being like, you know, full on guitar shape and stuff like that. Just have the head part be
like a low key head would be like brown body, silver headstock with a wolf's head. Is that the Wolfman? Yes, it is.
Hell yeah. So from touring or, you know, even recording or anything, or it could be, you know, if you have a good one that doesn't have anything to do with music, do you have any horror stories of your own? And it doesn't have to be like supernatural or anything. It can be something just like, you know, real horror story that happened to you.
Huh. Good one. Or kind of like something I could see happening in the horror movie, you say?
Yeah, anything like that, or just even if you had something just go like horribly wrong, you know, to the point where it felt like a horror story to you, you know, but it's not necessarily like terrifying. That works too.
Most Red Death tours. We always, one of us does something.
Damn. You think being only three of y'all, it would slim down the chances?
No, the chances are always high with oh shit. Yeah, so we were. Here is a horror. This is definitely a horror story because it was like I dealt with this for like months and I didn't even cause the problem. I ended up just being the guy that like no one stepped up to the plate. I was like, well, fuck, I guess I'm stepping up to the plate. But so we did like a European tour. We did in 2018. We did 6 weeks in the States with like Power Trip. And then like a week later, immediately flew to Europe and did like 2 weeks. And we're immediately from there flying back to California to play Sound and Fury Fest. And in between flying from, I mean, we'd be on the road, like, that's the longest I've been on the road in that long period of time. I think all of us kind of, it's the longest we've been on the road for that long in succession, you know?
Yeah.
We were like, all right, we got all this merch. We'll bring it to Sound and Fury. And, like, this shit will fly. It'll be fucking awesome. So, like, each of us has a thing that we're taking, checking in and taking, like, you know, I mean, we're not loaded now by any means, but I mean, compared to then, we might as well be loaded now.
Yeah.
So it's like, all right, like you take this, you take this, you take that. So Ace, our guitar player, is to take the merch box, and we stay in the venue like classic European style. We stay in the venue, and they keep you upstairs or somewhere. There's bunks somewhere.
Yeah.
And we're leaving like early in the morning, and we get up. We barely sleep. Like most everyone was partying all night. And like, or hanging out late just because it's like the last day and we don't give a shit and we're just flying off the seam of our pants. And we're leaving the venue in the morning and Ace forgets to grab the merch box.
Damn.
And it is, once the door is shut, it is locked. And everyone is outside. So that was like a, fuck, what are we gonna do?
Yeah.
Like, we have no money. That's our money right there. Like,
yeah, because
we made like an emergency shirt for Sound and Fury and sold, but like that, like we had so many people asking for like, do you guys have any more merch? Like all day at Sound and Fury. I wasn't even doing merch and I had people coming to me be like, yo, you guys were awesome. You guys were out of merch, you don't have anything, like you have nothing. And I'm just like, oh, I'm like, oh my god. In Berlin, there's a huge box of like 100 shirts down there just sitting there.
Hell yeah.
No, like, that was a horror story. And then trying to get that box back from Berlin, our friend shipped it. And once it got to DC, that took a month to get from the post office to the house.
Damn.
The horror like did not stop.
Yeah.
And it was like, I was the one with the most times on my hands now. Like, I was the only one. I was like, I guess I was the. Probably the one I was like, fuck, I thought we really need to get this box because I was the one that went and got the box. So, but they would like, I would hit up the USPS and they'd be like, yeah, the box is at this location. Like, okay, go to that location. They're like, no, we don't have that box. you're zoned for this location. Go to this location. I go to this location. They say, go to this location. Like, the fourth location they take me to is literally, it hasn't even been redone. It was 2 years ago. It's literally somehow this post office burnt down. What? And, like, they tell you, your box is there. And I go, and the place is straight bombed the hell out. And I'm just like, there's a security guard on the cart running around, like, the parking lot. He's like, you need something? I'm like, yeah, there's supposed to be a post office here. My box is here. He's like, maybe a year ago.
God damn. So they first just send you to a completely shut down fucking place. How do you not?
It was non-existent, essentially. It was once existent, but at the time it was very much non-existent. Like, it took me a month to get this box. And I went out west for a little bit to, like, have some space and help my mom and move out some stuff out of my mom's house because I'm from the West Coast.
Yeah.
And I was still dealing with this box for, like, the first week on the West Coast. Damn. I finally someone's like, oh, I don't know why they didn't tell you. The box is here. Like, I'm looking at it. The box is in here. Like, this is your box. And, like, reads out, like, the name and the label. I'm like, oh, man. They're like, just have it here. Tell us who's going to come pick it up and have them come pick it up. So I have my roommate come pick it up and he gets it, which shout out to my roommate Russell for getting the box. But that was a 3 to 4 month horror.
Yeah. No, that's one of those things you keep going through. And then after you keep going to all these locations, after a while, you start to wonder if you're ever going to get the fucking box.
Like, I literally, like, once I hit the bombed out, like the burnt down post office, I was like, we're never getting that money back.
Yeah.
Like, that's like at least $500, just piss that down the drain.
Yeah.
Like, this sucks. Cause like at the time it would be, you know, any money's helpful at any time. It's like, fuck, we just came back from a tour and we kind of like, we just wanted to play. We didn't really think it through, which is fine because in the long run, everything we did was successful and beneficial. So no mistakes were made other than, I guess, the box being left in the venue. Other than that, that's probably the biggest horror. I can't think of any like horror stories, if you will.
Yeah. I appreciate you sharing it, man. Do you want to let people know, you know, what the Red Death Instagram and stuff is, or Twitter?
Yeah, both are Red Death DC. I check them all the time. I'm interactive as hell. I don't know if that's if anyone who's listening wants to interact likes hell, but I'm interactive as hell. So if you hit us up about something, more than likely I'll respond. I guess just I hope everyone's doing well, whoever's listening. And once Rona's gone, let's get back to it, you know.
Hell yeah. And if for some reason you've been slacking, make sure you go check out Sickness Divine, because the album is divine.
And yes, check it. And it's sick in a good way.
Man, I love it. That album's fucking epic from start to finish to me.
Right?
Yeah. Cutting one like Dusty Rhodes.
I'm glad you like it, man. I appreciate you. Anyone who likes it, I'm appreciative of it. So thank you.
Well, I appreciate you coming on, man.
Well, thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it. It was cool. Thanks, Tim.
So I just want to say thanks again for listening, and make sure you check back next week, as my guest is going to be the one and only Johnny Munch of the band Grey Haven. And don't forget to follow us on social media at Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, because we got that huge watch party coming up on August 1st featuring a ton of special guests. Anthony Altamura from Straight From The Path, Tom Smith from The Acacia Strain, Larry Dwyer from Connecticut Cult Classics. He used to play in Death Threat and Hatebreed as well, but now he runs a bunch of cool horror stuff. He's going to be up there with us. The guys from Bad Taste Video, the guys from Fright Vision Video, Junkyard Jesse from No Warning. And I think that's pretty much it. I think that's all the guests. So make sure you join us up there on Facebook on August 1st for the watch party of Intruder. Go check out Loudmouth Threads, who did this awesome original podcast artwork, and stay safe.